أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا وسندنا ومولانا محمد عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. وبعد، يقول الله عز وجل في محكم تنزيله بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. ويقول أيضا: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. ويقول أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ويقول الله تبارك وتعالى: ان الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بانفسهم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, growing up here in the US, one of the things that I was always taught by my peers, by teachers, by guidance counselors, was to accept myself. Accept yourself for who you are. Be happy with the way you are. Be accepting of yourself. And the wisdom behind this was that a lot of people, they become depressed. They become overly critical of themselves. They get down on themselves. So counteracting that, people always told me, accept yourself, be okay with yourself. Now, there are plenty of situations for which that's good advice. Say for example, I'm not the tallest guy. Now, if I were to be overly critical all the time, saying to myself, man, why are you so short? If only you've been 6'3", if only you've been 7'5", you'd have been in the NBA, etc., etc. If I keep obsessing about that which I cannot change, that which is innate to myself, then yeah, that's going to cause depression, that's going to cause problems in my mind. But there are other situations. There are things you can change. I might have bad qualities. Now say for example, we have somebody who's an alcoholic. That person has lost his job, lost his family, lost his friends, lost his wealth. That's a very difficult thing to change, but everybody here has some sort of intuition that that person should do something to change. Everybody thinks that person should do something to change. So this is what I say. I don't say be unconditionally supportive of yourself. I don't say always support yourself. I say it's conditional. And this is the condition. There are some circumstances that happen in your life that you can't control. Natural disaster, physical attributes, etc., etc. There are things you can't control, but there are other things about yourself which you can change. This is one of the things I don't like about that doctrine that accept yourself for who you are. That means if you have a problem, that means you can never change it. You're doomed forever. That's part of who you are. Let's say you're not the nicest person, or maybe you're not the most outgoing person, or maybe you're not the most introspective person. Whatever it is, people might say, oh, that's it. That's who you are. You can't change anything about yourself. It's over. Just accept it. I think that's actually a little bit too defeatist. And I think people give up too easily. But this is the difficult thing, my brothers and sisters. We have to identify that which we can change. That which we can change in ourselves, and that which we cannot change. That's the difficult thing. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you what those things are. Because honestly, this is going to require reflection. This is going to require reflection. This is going to require a difficult, honest, sit down with yourself. Sit down. There's a concept that the scholars call muhasaba, which is taking people who speak Arabic, it's taking hisab. People who speak Urdu, you might know hisab, like the bill. Taking account. Taking account for who you are. Spending time, a certain amount of time. Many people talk about before you sleep, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Think about your day. Think about your actions. Think about the man you were or the woman that you were throughout that day. Muhasaba. Taking account. What did I do today? Not just go through the motions, or I woke up, you know, eat, sleep, yada yada, just go through it. No, sit down and ask yourself, when did I wake up? Why did I wake up? What did I do when I woke up? With what intention did I go to the bathroom? With what intention did I eat food? The first person that I met, how did I say salam to them? How did I say hello to them? The second person I met, and so on and so on. Taking account of oneself. So brothers and sisters, first thing you have to do, take account of who you are. Take account of who you are. And be a little bit hard. Be a little hard, not too hard. But if you take account of yourself and you don't find anything wrong, be a little bit harder. Find a few things. Change always seems hard. Say for example that alcoholic I gave for the example. It's almost impossible to break addictions like that, looks like, if you're in that position. If you're in that position, ask anybody who's addicted to anything. Cigarettes, alcohol, other things. There are plenty of things you can become addicted to. Ask that person. Is it easy? Is it easy to break out? No. Change isn't easy. But it must happen. See, in that example, we see the harms are clear. But there are other things for which the harms, we don't see them. Say for example, you're a very mean person. Every time you meet somebody, never a smile on your face. Never kind to anybody. Never charitable. And you may not see the harm, but it's killing your heart. It's killing your heart from the inside. Every time you act hard-heartedly, a piece of your heart dies. And you have to bring it back to life. You have to, because it's just as damaging as being an alcoholic. When your spiritual soul dies, it's just as difficult, it's just as painful, and it's got just as many repercussions, probably more, than when a piece of your physical self dies. So my respected brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said, and it was recorded in Daylami, he whose 2 days are equal is a loser. What does that mean? The Prophet ﷺ said, he whose 2 days are equal, he is a loser. Which 2 days? Yesterday and today. Today and tomorrow. Two successive days. If you haven't changed, if you haven't increased, the Prophet ﷺ says, you're a loser. One of my friends told me that his teacher taught him a concept. That people, whether they realize it or not, they don't stay stable. They don't stay stable. People either go up or they go down. It's very difficult to stay exactly the same. To stay exactly the same. People are either going up or they're going down. So if you're not actively trying to find a way to go up, na'udhu billah, you may end up going down. And like I said, what if you sit down today? What if you listen to the khatib and you go home and you say, yeah, khatib told me, good point. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to take hisab, this muhasaba thing he was talking about. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to think about myself. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. Why is it getting so hard? I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad person. It's a big deal. Everything's fine in my life. That sound that you hear, that voice telling you everything's fine. You're fine. You're perfect. Two people are saying that. Your shaitan. Shaitan whispering in your ear. And your nafs. Your soul, your nafs just wants to stay where it is. Your nafs just wants things easy. And the nafs and shaitan, they team up.
The scholars of the heart say this all the time. Shaitan and the nafs, they team up, they work together against you, against your soul, against your heart from being close to Allah Ta'ala. If you hear that at any time, that you're fine, you're perfect, you got nothing to change, everything's fine with you, you know that shaitan. I guarantee it. There's no doubt. If you ever hear that, there's no doubt. There was a story that there was a shaykh in the time of Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the shaykh was considered pious by many people. And he was so pious, there's a verse in the Quran that says, "Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen." Worship your Lord until you have achieved certainty. Your heart has achieved perfect certainty. And this was addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped Allah ta'ala till when? Till he died. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the highest yaqeen of every man, of any being that ever existed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam achieved the highest level of yaqeen. He ascended all seven heavens and met with Allah ta'ala and returned back. What could be a higher yaqeen than that? He achieved the highest yaqeen as possible in this dunya. But he continued to worship his Lord. That yaqeen, according to all of Mufassirin, that yaqeen is death. And only death. But this shaykh, pious shaykh, he pointed to this verse and said, "Oh, Allah says, وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ." Worship your Lord until you achieve certainty. I have achieved certainty. I don't need to pray anymore. Big pious shaykh. Everybody knew him as a pious guy. And somebody asked Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi, who was considered one of the pillars of the scholars of the heart, pillars of the scholars of the soul, and purification of the soul. Somebody came to Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi and said, "So-and-so shaykh, famous shaykh, says that he has arrived. He doesn't need to pray anymore." And Hazrat Junayd said, "Oh really? He's right. He has arrived in hell." SubhanAllah. اللهم اجرنا من النار اجمعين يا ارحم الراحمين. May Allah prevent our hearts from ever achieving such a state that we feel that we are where we are, that we've achieved. The ayah that I quoted at the beginning of the khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Verily Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. Profound ayah, think about that. Allah verily does not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. That means there's no freebies. That means I can't just sit down and expect good things to happen. That means I can't just sit down and expect all these changes to take place. I become a more pious person. My wife becomes better with me. My children become better with me. My business gets better. My life gets better. I achieve higher and higher levels with Allah Ta'ala. I get closer and closer to Jannah. Get higher and higher in Jannah. Without any change in myself, Allah just does these changes to me. I'm just sitting. Nothing changes within me. That's not the sunnah of Allah. Allah has sunnah. I don't know if you knew this. Allah has sunnah. He has, just like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has a sunnah, has a habit, has traditions, Allah Ta'ala also has traditions. It says in the Quran, Sunnatullah. Allah has a sunnah. And this is his sunnah. He's telling you the rule. Allah does not change the condition of a person until they change what is within themselves. So my respected brothers and sisters, the first step that I said we have to do is to figure out what we need to change. That's the first step. Go home, think to yourself, these are my bad habits. These are my good habits which need to be increased. That's your first step. Figure out what you need to change. What's the next thing you must do? The next thing you must do immediately upon recognizing that you need to change something is to make sincere dua to Allah Ta'ala. Because we say what in Islam? We say, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." We say there is no power, there is no might except with Allah. That means I don't have might. Respected brothers and sisters, that means I don't have might. That means you don't have might. That means there's not a single person on this earth that has any might. The only might, all of the power, is belonging to Allah Ta'ala. And so where are you going to get your power? How are you going to do anything without that power? So you must ask Allah. You're not going to get anywhere until Allah helps you. But wait a minute. Mom just said that Allah doesn't change you until you change yourself. Why am I making dua then? Why don't I try changing myself? Brothers and sisters, you may not realize this, but dua is the first change. Dua tells you what? It means you're admitting a shortcoming in yourself, humbly and sincerely. It means that you're asking Allah for help, humbly and sincerely. Brothers, please move forward. That's what dua is. You're beseeching Allah. So it purifies your intention. And what's more, that means Allah will help you. If you ask Allah, Allah will help you. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. And when they ask you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when they ask you, my slaves, regarding me, for verily I am close to them. I answer the dua of the caller when he makes dua to me. This, look at how many times Allah says the word dua. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. 3 times the root is used. I answer the call of the caller when he calls me. This is the importance of dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, عبادة is dua. This is in one hadith. I answer the call of the caller when he calls me. So this is the first step. Admit your shortcoming. Admit that you need to make a change. And ask the one who's going to be the one that changes you. He will be the one that changes you. And then what's next? And this is one of the things, brothers and sisters, I know amongst pious Muslims, myself especially, I can say this definitely. Ask and don't do nothing. Not take the means for the change. Oh Allah, I want to wake up for Fajr. But I don't feel like setting my alarm. Maybe something magic will happen. Maybe a rain cloud will come into my apartment and I'll wake me up. Look at that. What does that say? That says that you're not serious. That says that you don't have pure intention. That says that you don't have ikhlas. It's called ikhlas in Arabic, it's sincerity. If you were sincere, you would take every means in this dunya. Every possible means to make that change happen. That alcoholic says, Allah, cure me from alcohol. But not tonight. It's Friday night. I gotta, you know. You think about that. Is that sincerity? That alcoholic has to do what? He has to tell all his friends, if you ever see me with alcohol, you gotta stop and take the bottle and break it. He has to go to his house. What did the Sahaba, when the prohibition for alcohol came, what did the Sahaba do? They didn't just say, I'll just leave it sitting in the cabinet. Sorry. I know it's haram. I'm a Sahabi. I'm pious. I'll be fine. No, the Sahaba, the best of the generation, they took all the bottles and they smashed it. The streets of Medina were running with wine. They were running with wine that all the Sahaba broke when the prohibition came from Allah Ta'ala. Taking the means to avoid sin. Taking the means to do something good. Regardless of what it is. My second brothers and sisters, don't think that this is just for avoiding sin and increasing your prayers or something. Everything that is good in this dunya, every single thing that is good in this dunya has come in the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything good for you in your life has come from the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered it for you, and that came from Allah Ta'ala. This is the rahmah from Allah. This is the mercy from Allah. If you want to get a good job, this has been written for you from Allah Ta'ala in the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't make this excuse that, oh, I'm only going to worry about my prayers and, you know, my dhikr beads. Everything good for you, every change that you need to make in your life, ask Allah Ta'ala if it's truly good. If it's truly good, you have to ask. Don't ask Allah for something bad. This is how you're going to keep yourself from walking towards bad. You'll be ashamed. You want to do something bad, you can't make dua to Allah. You make it a habit every time you want to change, that you ask Allah. Now let's say you want to change in a bad direction. It's your habit to ask Allah. You're about to put your hands up. Oh wait, this is bad. I can't ask Allah for this. I'm asking for something bad. Maybe that will be a shame for you and it will stop you from doing something bad. Every time you want to make a change, make dua for Allah Ta'ala and then take the means to do it. My respected brothers and sisters, I talk about the sunnah of Allah. The practice, the habit of Allah Ta'ala. The habit of Allah Ta'ala is that He gives to the one that wants it the most. He gives it to the one that wants it the most, the one that tries the hardest. And I hate to say this, but this is the truth. Sometimes that's not the Muslims. Sometimes that's not the Muslims. A lot of times, when it comes to even the good of this dunya, getting education, getting wealth, etc., etc., the kuffar want it more than we do. That's the truth. Look at how hard they work. Look at how much diligence they may work. And the kuffar, when they want it more, Allah will give it to them. Not because He likes them. Not because He's favoring them. But to remind us, it doesn't come easy for the believer. Allah Ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ Does mankind think that they'll just say, we believe? It'll be sufficient that they just say, we believe, and they will never be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ And we have indeed tested the people that have come before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ And so, by this method, Allah has come to know those people who are upon the truth and those people who are upon lies. Mankind doesn't just get a freebie. You have to want it. That's how you show your sincerity. That's how you show your sincerity. You push hard. Is anything impossible through Allah? No. Nothing is impossible through Allah. In fact, if a person honestly believes, na'udhu billah, that there's something that's impossible for Allah, that's not some sort of absurdity, you know, four-sided triangle or something, that's madness. But something that's reasonable, that could logically happen, nothing is impossible for Allah. Nothing is impossible for Allah. So whatever it is, whatever change you want, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how entrenched you may be in your sin, no matter how difficult that new pious thing might seem to you, no matter how difficult it might seem to get that degree, no matter how difficult it might be to mend relations between you and your wife, no matter how difficult it might be to mend relations between you and your family, no matter how difficult it might be to become a kinder person, to become a more charitable person, whatever it may be, nothing is impossible through Allah. Nothing is impossible through Allah. So my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ told us that whoever takes one step towards Allah, Allah takes 10 steps towards him. And whoever goes walking towards Allah, Allah goes running to him. What more do you want from Allah Ta'ala? What more can you ask? Allah Ta'ala will give you everything, but you have to just give the first push. The little first push. That's all Allah asks. Make an effort. You will find Allah abundant in return. You will find Allah abundant in return. And there's no such thing in this whole dunya. You will never go to any person who will come running towards you when you're walking towards them, who will take 10 steps to you when you take 1 step to them. You want proof? I'll give you proof. I know a large number of you are from overseas. And a large number of those people are from the Arab countries. Several of you are maybe Egyptian. Several of you are maybe Tunisian. Did you ever in your wildest dreams growing up in Egypt or Tunisia or the kids of such people think that one day Hosni Mubarak would leave? Did you ever think Zayn Ali would ever leave? Did you ever think, and now the thing is not done yet in Libya, but did you ever think even the people would rise up in Libya? Did you ever think the people would rise up in Syria against the tyrants of the Assad family? Did you ever think that the people would stand up against Saleh in Yemen, in Bahrain? Allah didn't make it easy. Allah didn't say He's just going to hand it to you. But Allah made it possible. We had to take the first step. Our brothers and sisters took the first step. It was a difficult step, but a step that had not been taken for decades. A step that had not been taken for decades. But when they took that step, Allah Ta'ala helped them. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to help all those people around the world, Muslims and non-Muslims, to be free from oppression, to be free from economic strife, to be free from difficulty, to be free from all fitna. This oppression that people, you don't know what oppression feels like. Well, alhamdulillah, I've never felt true oppression like that. Alhamdulillah, I can only imagine the kind of oppression that people feel over there. There was a report that just came in, a 13-year-old boy. He was missing for a month in Syria. Parents didn't know where he was. You know how they found out his whereabouts? They dumped his mutilated body to them. The government. They took his body. It was cut up, mutilated. They showed it to the mother. They just showed his face to the mother. She went hysterical. The father was angry, as men might be, and just pulled the cover. They wouldn't show him the cover. And he just pulled the cover off and he saw his son's body. And he fainted. These are the trials. Allah puts us through trials. It's not going to be difficult. We have it easy. SubhanAllah. Believe me. We have it easy. Walhamdulillah. قولوا قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين والتابعين وأتباع سنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we have a lot of changing to do if we expect the help of Allah Ta'ala. And I hope it's clear to all of us that the help of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is sorely needed. Our brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering, our brothers and sisters right here in the United States who are losing their homes, don't have jobs. Ask a brother or a sister who just lost the government program that was keeping him afloat, or the public works program that was his job or her job. Things are not easy for anybody, Muslim or non-Muslim. There's a small group of people that have it very well. In my opinion, and the opinion of most, who have sold their souls completely to shaitan in order to have it well in this dunya. And we say sufficient is Allah for that. But Allah wouldn't, despite all of that. Let me ask you a question. Who's more powerful, shaitan or Allah? Allah Akbar. Allah is greater. Do you think that in the blink of an eye Allah cannot change everything? Allah can change everything in a moment. But we have to make that first step. So where are we going to find that push? What's going to get us moving? That initial, that inertia, that lethargy, that sloth, that procrastination, that laziness. What's going to get us off of our behind, off of the couch, off in front of the TV? What do we have to do? Respected brothers and sisters, Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. Indeed, the count of the months with Allah is 12 months since the day that Allah created the heavens and the earth. Of them, 4 of them are sacred. And according to the hadith which is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, this is the strongest opinion. The 4 months are Rajab, Al-Qa'da, Al-Hijjah, and Muharram. I don't know if you're aware of this, but last night was the first night of Rajab, which according to one of the hadith is one of the 5 most powerful nights to do ibadah. The first night of Rajab, the 15th night of Sha'ban, the nights preceding both Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And look at this mercy from Allah. Every single Thursday night. These are the 5 nights. Every single night before Friday, which means Thursday night, is one of these 5 powerful nights in which your supplications are answered. So my respected brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this was collected by Imam Suyuti rahimahullah in his Jami' al-Sahih, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, narrated by Hassan al-Basri, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rajab, Shahrullah, wa Sha'ban, Shahri, wa Ramadan, Shahru Ummati. Rajab is the month of Allah. Sha'ban is my month, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and Ramadan is the month of my community. This is the sequence. This is the month of Rajab, the next month will be Sha'ban, and the following month will be Ramadan. The Sahabi Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr Marra, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said that Rajab is the sowing. You know, when you have crops, you have to lay the seeds, sowing the seeds. Rajab is that sowing. Sha'ban is the irrigation, watering it. And Ramadan is the harvesting. I'll tell you something about myself. When Ramadan comes, I'm all hyped, I'm all pumped. I'm going to hit this Ramadan running. I'm going to get all the barakah, stand every tarawih, and do blah blah everything. All these great plans I have. Ramadan comes. Can't do it. It's too much. You can't just go from 0 to 60 in 0 seconds. That's how it goes. Ramadan, it's one day, 1 minute. It's the end of Sha'ban, the next minute you see the moon, it's Ramadan. So look at the wisdom of the Sahabi. This is the month, Rajab, you start your preparations. Sha'ban, you firm your preparations, you let them, you water them, you nurture them, you make them strong, you give them the nourishment that they need. And Ramadan, you reap your benefits. Ramadan is coming soon. And Rajab is the month of Allah. And it is one of the sacred months. And there is an ikhtilaf among the scholars, which is the most sacred month. Some say it's Rajab, some say it's Dhul-Hijjah, some say Dhul-Hadha, and some say Muharram. But some say it's Rajab. And look at this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says this is the month of Allah. How much more honorable do you want a month? The month of Allah Ta'ala. This is the month to start making those changes. To start asking yourself. The month of Tawbah, some of the scholars say. The first step, you want to make a change? You make Tawbah for your past sins. Then you start doing new good things to displace your bad sins. I'll tell you one thing. Just a brief bit of advice about breaking bad habits. This is what the scholars say. Breaking bad habits is very difficult. Because you're always focused on the bad habit. Whatever your addiction, whatever your bad thing you're trying to get rid of. You're always thinking about it. Okay, today I'm not going to do whatever it is. What the scholars say instead, occupy your mind with doing good things. Don't even think about your addiction or your problem or your bad habit. Don't even think about it. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't happen. Don't focus on it. Don't give it attention. Especially with things like addiction. Don't give it attention. Focus on doing good things to replace it. So my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to make a change. This is the month. If we're ever going to start, we got to start now. We're running out of time. You look at the world, anything can happen at any time. Brothers and sisters in Alabama, in southern United States, what happened to them? Everybody thinks, oh, it's the most developed nation, technology, blah, blah, blah. Same thing in Japan. All the technology, the best earthquake-resistant country, the best tsunami-resistant country, whole world, Japan. Doesn't avail you. When your time comes, medicine mode comes, the angel of death comes, you don't know when that's going to be. That could be right now, I'm standing on this khutbah, may Allah protect me. But it could happen right now. Any one of us. Wallahi al-Azim. Qiyamah, everybody talks about Qiyamah, the day of judgment is coming, May 21st. What about your Qiyamah? What about your death? What are you worried about? Dajjal and Matthew 4. Who knows if you're going to see that? I guarantee you're going to die. I guarantee you're going to stand in front of Allah. One way or another. Who knows what events you'll see until then. Focus on that. Focus on your mold. Focus on how quickly you have to make that change. But ask Allah. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't try to make sweeping changes. Don't overwhelm yourself. Ask Allah for help. Make a firm intention. Take the means. May Allah help us. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت فلك الحمد على ما قضيت ولك الشكر على ما أعطيت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد واجعلنا منهم واغفر من خذل دين محمد ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا القوة المتين يا فعال لما تريد وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين واقم الصلاه والصلاه تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر